Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Make sure to download the app and join me tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk about sports. Today's episode is going to be a brief preview of the upcoming series in Seattle against the Mariners, and then the rest of the time, we're going to answer all of your questions in a fan mailbag segment. But before getting into the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94. You can find the podcast at Locked On Angels. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you have not done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Friday. Hope you are doing well. As I mentioned at the top, we are going to answer a lot of questions today. A big thank you to everybody who sent questions in. There are a lot of really interesting ones in here, and I'm very much looking forward to answering them. One final thing before we kind of get into the episode. Locker Room is going to be tonight at 6 p.m. So if you would like to join and do not have the app, make sure to download on the Apple Store. Follow me at BMags94, and we can talk some Angels baseball for about an hour or so before the Angels game starts. But with that being said, let's dive into a quick little preview of this upcoming series against the Seattle Mariners. Mariners are playing some pretty decent baseball so far this year. They're 14-12. Their underlying numbers suggest that they've basically earned it to this point. They've gotten kind of some like decent pitching from a handful of guys. They've gotten a couple of really good performances from guys like Mitch Haniger and Ty France. Kyle Seager is having a kind of a nice resurgent season. So this is kind of a pesky ball club. And do I think they're better than the Angels? Probably not, but they are playing pretty decent baseball right now. And this should be a pretty competitive series. In terms of the matchups for this weekend, tonight we've got Andrew Heaney on the bump for the Angels against Chris Flexen. Saturday, we've got Griffin Canning against Jay Newsome. And Sunday, Dylan Bundy versus Justice Sheffield. So this, like I said, this should be a pretty competitive series as a whole. It's kind of nice that the Angels have both Bundy and Heaney going. I don't know if I have too many other thoughts for this series as a whole. One thing I will say is the Angels schedule does get really tough after this week. I've kind of done some of the digging to look at potential matchups for next week. The Angels are playing Tampa Bay Rays next week. They're also playing the Dodgers for a three-game series, and then the Astros the following week. But based on pitching matchups, there's a good chance that the Angels are going to face Tyler Glasnow and then three of the five Dodger starters next week, which that is a tough task. This is going to be a much harder week for them next week. So again, I'm not going to say that this is a must-win series or anything like that, but it would be nice if the Angels were able to go out and maybe take two of three, possibly sweep this series, because they do have some tougher opponents on the way. But yeah, should be a fun weekend up in Seattle. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens. With that being said, let's move into our fan questions. Again, big thank you to everybody who sent questions in. There's a lot of really interesting topics that we'll get into. First one is from Halo Hangover asking, what are the odds that Chris Rodriguez is in the rotation by the All-Star break? So for those that did not listen to the Thursday episode, I spent a good portion talking about Rodriguez and really just like the development of him this year and kind of the dilemma of if he's going to end up in the rotation or is he going to stay in the bullpen for this year. I'm still a believer that he's going to spend most of the year in the Angels bullpen, but it is worth mentioning that he is starting to get stretched out a little bit more in relief. He did throw a career high 3 1/3 innings on Wednesday's outing. I think it's pretty clear that he is kind of moving in that direction. They might want to keep him in the bullpen to just keep him in this role, but it's definitely something that I think is going to be a question for the Angels for the next handful of weeks. It was mentioned on the broadcast on Wednesday by Matt Vasgersian and Mark Gubiza. Angels pitchers have the fewest amount of innings thrown per start this season. They are basically under five every single start, and that is kind of a problem. And I don't know if Rodriguez necessarily helps fix that, because I don't know if he's stretched out to go that many innings. But when the Angels are also posting one of the worst ERAs in the sport among their rotations, it does beg the question of, should Rodriguez be getting more reps? I don't know what the answer to this is. Like we talked about at length on Thursday's episode, there are a lot of conflicting things. Like, on one hand, it's great that he's producing like this. He's very clearly talented enough to make it work as a starter. But then you look at the injuries over the past couple years and maybe some of the command issues, and it does makes you pause a little bit. So if I had to guess, I think he's going to make some starts this year. I don't know if it's going to be your traditional 5 to 7 inning start. I think it's going to be more or less, maybe not an opener type of start, but like a 3 to 5 inning type of start. And that could happen at any point. I do think Rodriguez is in that position right now where he could find himself starting a game, but not necessarily going very long in the game. So this is kind of a long way of saying, I think it could happen very soon. I also don't think he's going to be stretched out to be a guy that's giving you 75 to 100 pitches in an outing. So let's move on to our next question. And this is a fun question. This is from Ryan Pierce. What will it take for us fans to finally convince the organization to incorporate more Navy into their uniforms again, perhaps using their 1970s and 80s jerseys as a template for an alternate jersey? So I think we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before, maybe not too much at length. If you follow me on social media, you would see my affinity for retro Angels uniforms. So that's including the Periwinkle Disney uniforms in the 90s. And I know that can be kind of a hot topic for Angels fans. A lot of people are seemingly with the uniforms and really like them, and then the remainder just don't like them at all. I like those uniforms, but if I actually had to go back and decide which ones they should use, I really do like those 1970s, 1980s style uniforms. They're just such a good look. I think the logos, whatever one it is, if it's the California logo or any of the variations of the A logo, I think that's the way to go. You can utilize the Navy, like Ryan mentioned. At the very least, start utilizing some of those really cool logos and uniform colors that you've had in the past. It's not that I necessarily hate the current uniforms. I just think they're kind of boring. I don't think they stand out all that much. And for an organization that has so many cool, unique logos and color schemes, I do think they're kind of missing out on an opportunity to do this. Now, I will say it's the 60th anniversary this season for the Angels, and this is a good opportunity to bring those out. And I have not seen anything regarding that, so that kind of tells you where they might stand. I do think there's probably something to do with the fact that this is Artie Moreno's team now. He took over the team when they had the current uniforms, and there might be something there about not wanting to go back to utilizing those retro uniforms. But I think those retros are probably the favorite amongst Angels fans, at least based on the conversations that I have and kind of the rhetoric around it. So I would love to see them get brought back. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would absolutely love to see Navy incorporated a little bit more and for the Angels to bring those uniforms back. So we're going to answer some more questions here in a little bit, but first we're going to take a quick break. Have you heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meet the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. A fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, and they just added the baseball to their platform, so check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. And number two, the good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock and a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip veteran who is always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you would like, just like the stock market, and then watch your players battle it out and see how your portfolio value rises. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Again, that's at sportstrade.com. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They are the perfect way to bring light into her life. And they're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. Again, that's at BlueNile.com and search the words 10x10. So we're going to dive back into some more of these questions. Again, big thank you to everyone for sending these in. This next one is from Marcio asking the Angels, or saying the Angels could be looking to trade for a starting pitcher in July. John Gray types will cost you in prospects. Scherzer is going to be more in money. On top of that, the other teams are going to be looking to bolster their starting pitchers as well. What's your strategy if you're Perry Manassian? So we are very early on in this season, and as we discussed a couple of days ago, this Angels pitching staff, it's a bit complicated. There are a lot of things that the Angels are doing really well this year. Essentially everything besides run prevention. I know that feels like a weird statement to make, given that the whole goal is to not allow runs to come score. The Angels are doing a pretty good job in terms of missing bats and keeping the ball in the yard, limiting hard contact, all of those really important indicators. With that being said, pitching has been a problem for the Angels for quite some time. I'm not sure I necessarily believe in some of these underlying numbers lasting for a full season. And my biggest concern about the team coming into the season, much like everybody else, was the pitching staff. So if I'm going out to try to improve the staff, I mean, beyond just doing stuff in the bullpen, which I definitely think needs a little bit of work, the rotation really does need another guy at the top of the rotation. Now, when things are going well, when you've got Andrew Heaney pitching at his best, which is he doing right now, when Shohei Ohtani is healthy and pitching up to his capabilities, you can kind of squint and think, you know what, this rotation could actually be really good when things are rolling. But as you've known, if you watch the Angels, you know that it's very rare for everything to be clicking all at once. And I don't think it's a hot take to say that the Angels definitely need to go out and make a move for a starter at the deadline. It's going to be an interesting one for sure. I have brought up Max Scherzer several times on this podcast now. That one is starting to make a lot of sense to me, just based on the fact that he's not going to be as expensive in terms of prospects. The Angels can afford to bring him in. The prospects aren't going to be through the roof to go get him. He's got playoff experience, and he's just a guy that's been there before, and I think that's kind of an important thing to have if you're the Angels. If you're talking about which pitcher would you trust the most if the Angels were to make the playoffs, who would you want in game one or in that wild card game? It's probably Max Scherzer over any of the current Angel starters. And beyond that, if you're adding someone like that during the playoffs, that really just kind of stretches out the rotation where Dylan Bundy is going in game two for you. You can put Andrew Heaney in game three with Ohtani and maybe kind of like a bullpen type of game in game four. That could do a lot of damage in the playoffs. I do think the Angels are still one piece short, absolutely, when it comes to the starting rotation. I do think John Gray is an interesting name for sure. I think he is going to be one of the guys that the Angels will explore going after. But I will say it's a little early right now for me to have a good idea of who might be available. I think Scherzer, John Gray, I think Sonny Gray could potentially be available depending on what Cincinnati does. And I guess we'll see as we get closer, but this is definitely a good question and one that I'm thinking a lot more about, especially as the season continues to go along. Next question is from Bucky. He's got trade questions. What do you think would have been a doable trade for Aaron Judge, and would you have liked to have seen this play out? And second question, would you trade Griffin Canning and Jose Iglesias for Trevor Story and Germán Márquez? So let's start with that first one. That's actually something I don't think I brought up earlier this week. There was a story from Buster Olney that said the Angels and the Yankees talked about Aaron Judge over the offseason. Now, he did specify that these were very preliminary talks. They didn't really go anywhere. But the fact that this became public knowledge was kind of interesting, to say the least. Judge is a complicated player because when he's healthy, when he's out there, I think he's a top 10 player in the game. At least he's a top 10 position player. But you know that he has had injury problems a lot in his career, and that has kind of limited how often he's been able to actually go out there and do what he's able to do. So as far as what he would have cost for the Angels, I really don't know. I'm not sure I have a great feel for what that market would have been, partially because I just didn't think that guy was going to be in trade talks or anything of the sort. And again, we don't know if these talks actually even went anywhere. They probably did not. But if he was to become available, I think the price tag would have rightfully been really high. Maybe it's not going to cost you Joe Adell, but it sure as heck is probably going to cost you someone like Chris Rodriguez, Brandon Marsh, maybe Reed Detmers. I mean, not all of those guys, but yeah, I think the price tag would have been expensive for him. Would I have done it? Again, it comes down to price. He would have helped the Angels immensely, and we're kind of seeing what's happening in right field for the Angels right now. It's like this revolving door of a bunch of guys, so I think Judge would have helped. I also think that if they would have went out and traded for another really good position player but didn't get pitching, the reaction would have been pretty outlandish. But as far as the second question, you're asking about the Angels trading Griffin Canning and Jose Iglesias. I believe that's the Iglesias. Maybe it's Rysell. For Trevor Story and Germán Márquez. I don't think this is a trade that is going to work for either side. It would be great for the Angels, obviously, but if the Rockies are going to trade Germán Márquez, I do think they're looking for a little bit more. That's a guy that's extremely valuable. If you've heard me talk on this podcast before, I've expressed my love for Germán Márquez. He's a very, very good pitcher pitching in a really bad situation. I genuinely believe that once he leaves Colorado, that he's going to become a top 20, top 25 starter in baseball. And then you add in the contract and how young he is. I don't know if that was ever going to happen. But I do think that Colorado does make sense as a trade partner at some point this year, like we just mentioned before with John Gray. I'm just not sure this is the exact scenario that I see playing out. So the next question is from Hordez asking, do you think that injuries can become a concern if Shohei Ohtani keeps this amount of activity in every single game? This is another good question. I think we've kind of addressed it a little bit before on here. I don't know what the answer is because we saw what the Angels did when I don't want to say they babied him because that's not the correct way to word it. But they had him on this very regimented schedule where he was going to hit for these particular days. On the days before and after he pitched, he was going to be off. And the Angels followed it strictly, and it didn't really work. Shohei Ohtani got hurt, and to be fair, he already had that tear in his UCL before coming over. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is in terms of how to utilize him. I think the best way to do it is doing what they're doing right now. Ohtani has made it very clear that he kind of wants to go a little bit more full throttle this year, and I would just simply continue to play him, see how he's doing, monitor him after each game, and just try to gauge that energy level for him. I think what's really nice about the situation that the Angels are in right now with Ohtani is, I'm going to reference Fabian Ardaia's article at The Athletic again. If you haven't read this, you should really go check this out. This was his article about Shohei Ohtani's offseason. Ohtani really started to invest in taking care of his body more in terms of diet, workout, really just tracking where he's at in terms of even little things like heart rate and all these, you know, kind of like micro health issues. And I think we're at a point now where Ohtani is very clear about where his body stands, and I think the Angels are as well. So quite frankly, if he's feeling fine, keep putting him out there. I mean, there is a limit to all of this. You don't want to overwork him and end up causing another injury. But at this point, Ohtani seems to be handling all of this quite well. And I would just kind of go on a day-by-day basis. I know that's a little bit of a cop-out answer, but that's kind of where I stand at the moment. So our last question is from Kobe Goaded asking, how does the Quintana problem get solved? This is a pressing one for the Angels, and I think it's even more pressing after seeing what Alex Cobb has done in his last two outings. So I think with Alex Cobb and Jose Quintana not pitching well right now, it's really making the rotation issues that much more evident. And this was an issue coming into the season. We all kind of knew that there was a razor thin margin of error for this rotation. And with Quintana not pitching very well and Alex Cobb not pitching as well the last few outings, it does raise the questions. Now, to be fair to Alex Cobb actually has some good underlying numbers, and his first couple starts were really good. So I'm a little less concerned about him. With Quintana, this is really complicated, and I'm kind of confused as of the version of Quintana the Angels have gotten, because he's never done this before. Quintana's always been kind of a safer arm, a guy that threw a good amount of strikes, had good command, didn't strike out a ton of guys, didn't allow a ton of home runs. He was just like a safe league average type of starter. And instead, now we're getting this guy that is striking out a ton of batters, but also walking a ton of batters and allowing a lot of hard contact. And again, we're talking about a 4-game sample for him, but it's been so bad that you can't help but be a little concerned about what he's going to do for the Angels this year. He's always been a fairly reliable starter, even as he's declined, but you do have to wonder if not pitching basically at all last season is having some sort of effect, and maybe if that's going to prolong when he's going to get back to full strength, or if that's going to happen at all this year. I really don't know what the answer is. I do think that his leash is getting a little bit shorter. I think we could see a phantom injured list trip at some point soon, and maybe Chris Rodriguez steps in and makes a start. Maybe that's Patrick Sandoval that comes in and makes a start for the Angels. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. At this point, you've got to see what he's going to do over the next few outings, just kind of see if he can kind of right the wrongs that he's had so far. But it is becoming a little worrisome to see that this is the type of production that they're getting from him so far. So we're going to take one final break before we get out of here. So let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market right now. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than it's ever been before, thanks to six new amazing flavors such as caramel brownie and lemon almond cheesecake. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Most importantly, Built Bars are healthy. They are great for the health conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for any kind of diet. So make sure to go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Get all of the sports news that you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Your host, Peter Bukowski, updates you with the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So make sure to follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. So we're going to wrap up here today with a couple of points. First of all, thank you to everyone for sending questions in. It is always much appreciated, and it really does make for a fun ending to each week with these podcasts. Second note, as I mentioned at the top, we're doing a locker room session tonight. So if you want to join, again, make sure to download that app on the Apple Store. Join me at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We'll talk Angels baseball for about an hour before the game starts. It's a lot of fun. Had a really good time doing the first couple ones I've done, and I'm really, really looking forward to this next one. I think that's all I've got for today. It should be a fun weekend up in Seattle. The Angels are finally starting to get healthy again, and they have a really, really tough week next week. So this is a pretty important series for the Angels, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. But I believe that's it for today. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there. Have a great weekend, and we will talk some Angels baseball on Monday.